Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. All right, let's keep things simple, and that means the ingredients in all your food labels. There's a saying in English, keep it simple, stupid. Actually, I'm going to change it to keep it simple, sweetie. Stupid's kind of a harsh term, but my panelists, Winnie and Steven, think that's kind of funny, right?
It is very funny. And if you spell it out, it's an acronym for the word KISS.
Mm.
So sometimes I would tell my students to kiss it or to keep it simple.
So you have used that acronym
or
that saying.
Definitely.
And now when I say keep it simple, stupid, keep it simple, sweetie.
Yes.
What do I mean, Miss Winnie Shih?
Well, I used it in my classroom for when students give speeches. And a lot of times, students might think of many different ideas, and it doesn't turn out the best way. And sometimes when things are simple, it's actually much more clear, and
right.
It's a lot better.
I also have to do the same thing whenever I go out and judge speech contests.
Mm-hmm.
And I always advise the students this, keep it simple, sweetie, because people try and do too much.
Yes.
They try and communicate way too much information. And what happens is they confuse people and you bore people if you give too much information.
That's right. And it doesn't only apply to making speeches, but
right.
It works for almost anything.
Well, that's true, Winnie. Today we're talking about a business. We're talking about food ingredients. So when you say almost anything, we're taking that KISS acronym and applying it to the labels that are on your food products that list the ingredients. So that also needs to be kept simple. Also joining us here in the studio is Stephen Shaw. Hi, Stephen.
Hey, Bill. Great to be here.
Okay. Good to have you here. What do you think about this as far as your experience with keeping things simple, keeping messages simple? What have you encountered?
Well, I'm reminded of another slogan and one that we'll encounter later today, and it's less is more. And I found that keeping things simple not only makes life a lot easier, a lot more pleasant, makes speeches a little more direct, but it also just adds a lot more value to people's life. And I think as we go through this article, you'll find that as there are fewer ingredients, you realize that there are more value, more nutrition, more sales to these products.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm also thinking about, for instance, like advertising and marketing. Some of the most effective commercials or ads that you'll see have very few or no words in them. They might be a TV commercial that just shows images, and they're very effective, or print ads that have very, very few words.
Definitely. Just remember the last time you flipped through a magazine and you just passed by an ad that just has so much going on that it almost has nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But then you come across that one page that just has one line of text, or it's just a complete solid color with a small icon. That really catches your attention.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, I think even of emails people send me. Think about it. You open up an email and somebody has typed up this 4-paragraph essay talking about, all these details. What do you do? Like, when Winnie sends me something like that, I just, I'm like, next.
You don't read every word, Bill?
Yours, Winnie. I read every word of your
okay.
emails. But, maybe it's like Steve Marth. Or
oh, yes. Yeah.
They only
I get that
sends
all the time.
Me them. I don't read every word, so it's too much. So,
but, a good example I'm thinking of is maybe Google.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about their search page, right? When you go on it, it's so simple. There's just one blank, and you type in whatever question or whatever you're looking for. And that attracts me because it's so simple to use.
Do you use this in practice in your everyday life?
That's a good question. I think I talk a little too much, where a lot of things that I say could have been shortened to maybe 2 or 3 sentences. So, no, I don't, but I would like to.
What about you, Mr. Shaw?
Well, living here in Asia, I find that, communicating, verbally or by email, I have to cut out a lot of, a lot of the fat, a lot of the clauses and conjunctions and just say really clear, simple phrases. Mm-hmm. I'd also say that, you know, simplicity in my life also extends to some of the choices I make when I buy clothes, that I don't want something that's too flashy or could only really be used in one occasion, but something that could be, you know, basic and used in everyday, you know, scenarios. Yeah.
Your clothes are very plain.
Well, why, thank you,
I'm
Bill.
Just kidding.
if only listeners could see what you're wearing right now, Bill.
Thank you.
Bill, where did you get that tweed jacket?
Oh, well, it's my Armani jacket.
So, okay.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, Bill, another way that I've tried to simplify my life, though, even though I may not be so simple in speech, I recently tried to simplify my closet. So I threw out a lot of clothes that I don't wear, some shoes that I haven't worn in ages, and try to simplify just my surroundings. So that's maybe one way that I want to be more clear or simple.
Okay. All right, very good. Those are some great examples from both of our panelists on simplicity and simplifying things in your life. We are talking about Simplicity for Sale. That's our business article today. It's found on page 22 in your Advanced Studio Classroom magazine. And we're talking about how to use simplicity to sell products, and namely food. We're talking about food ingredients. I spent many years in sales, and I had to learn the hard way about simplicity in sales. I, too, talked way too much, especially when I started in sales. I thought that's how you were a good salesperson, just do a lot of talking, right? And then fortunately, I had a manager who pulled me off to the side one day and said, Bill, you talk too much. Now, that was a blow to my ego, but it was extremely helpful, and it's something I needed to hear. Bill, you talk too much. So I'm going to stop talking, and play, and we're going to have our reading.
Simplicity for Sale. This year's marketing trend steers consumers toward the bare essentials. Simple is better. This could be 2010's most powerful marketing mantra. If 2009's hottest sales pitch was all about buying stuff on the cheap, 2010 marketing will increasingly stress less as more, as in fewer parts, additives, or ingredients. This may be more marketing magic than reality. How can a product made by Kraft, Campbell's, or Dreyer's be made to sound as simply healthy as something made fresh in your kitchen?
Okay, simplicity for sale. And this year's marketing trend steers consumers toward the bare essentials. Help me out with that deck, Winnie.
Okay, well, a trend is maybe a pattern, and we're talking again about marketing. And we're saying this year, for 2009, I think they were talking about, it's that there's a pattern of going towards the basics, the bare essentials.
Bare essentials. And, well, what is a bare essential?
A bare essential is almost the most basic component. And so when we say, you know, bare essentials for humans, you can think of, food, shelter, you know, clothing and water. Those are almost the bare essentials we need to live.
Okay. Yep. Now, we're steering people. It steers consumers. I normally steer a car, don't I, Winnie?
You do.
Okay.
You would steer it by using maybe a steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
But this case, we're talking about going in a certain direction.
And one direction we're going in is simplicity, right? Simple is better.
Yes, simple is better. Less is more. And so we begin this first paragraph by saying that the most powerful marketing mantra of this year, 2010, is simple is better. Now, when we say mantra, a mantra is, you know, a word or phrase that's, you know, almost like a slogan. It's repeated. It expresses a belief.
Okay.
You could say that Nike's mantra is just do it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And now, if 2009's hottest sales pitch was all about buying stuff on the cheap, 2010 marketing will increasingly stress less is more. Now, first, let me back up. Winnie, what is buying stuff on the cheap?
That's another way of saying buying things for a very, very low price. Buying stuff, anything, that are on the cheap. So you could have just said buying cheap stuff, But here's another way of saying buying stuff on the cheap.
Okay, so there was an emphasis in 2009 in advertising and marketing about low prices, something being cheap. But 2010, that marketing will what?
That marketing mantra will change. We'll go from buying stuff on the cheap to buying things in fewer parts, things with fewer additives and fewer ingredients.
Okay, and as you said, less as more.
Less as more.
Okay, and then fewer parts, additives, or ingredients. Now, an additive, what's an additive?
Well, Bill, an additive is any substance, usually a chemical, that you typically add to food, and you would add it in order to give it more flavorful taste or almost more color. So food coloring is a type of additive.
Okay. Another additive is known as preservative. There are preservatives, and what that does is give products a longer shelf life. They can stay in the store longer, especially a lot of things that you might buy in a convenience store, candy bars and potato chips, things like that. They have chemicals in them to make them last for like 27 years. And there used to be a joke that if you eat a lot of preservatives, then you'll live to be 150. So, no.
You are what you eat, Bill. Hey?
Right. Now, this may be what, Winnie, in line 9?
They're saying this may be more marketing magic than reality. So they're saying this may not really be the truth here. This might be more of a marketing ploy or just a scheme that marketing people are trying to – or a message they're trying to send out.
Okay. And then we move on to a question. It's kind of like a statement, right?
Yeah. It's a rhetorical question. It's almost like something you would say to your friends, like, how could a product – made by Kraft, Campbell's, or Dreyer's. Now, these are companies we'd associate with a lot of processed foods, a lot of canned foods.
Right.
How can products made by these companies sound to be as healthy as something that you would have made fresh in your very own kitchen?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we're kind of asking this question almost in a way of, I don't believe it, right?
That's right.
When you say a rhetorical question, when we ask a rhetorical question, we either already know the answer or we're kind of skeptical or mm-hmm. we don't believe something, right?
Yeah, so. Definitely.
All right. Let's get into our next reading.
What's not in your food? One way to spin this is talk about how few ingredients your product contains, says Tom Verrill, researcher at Data Monitor. Companies that offer products with the fewest number of ingredients compared with rivals stand to win big in 2010, says Lynn Dornblaser, trends guru at Mintel. Consumers these days not only want to know what's in the stuff they eat and drink, they want to know what's not. In a nation bedeviled by food scares and mounting worries about the healthiness of a plethora of things commonly used in processed foods, folks increasingly are demanding cleaner food labels. No artificial food colorings, no chemical additives, such as MSG, and no chemical preservatives, such as BHA.
What's not in your food? I like that title of that section. It's kind of asking a question saying, well, a lot of these foods have just about everything in them. So we're almost saying it's easier to say what's not in them, right, Stephen?
That's right. Your food nowadays just has so many chemicals and so many ingredients that it seems to be eating almost the whole food pyramid just in one dish.
Well, that's actually a form of a question that we can use in many things, not just talking about food, but we say, well, what's not the problem, right? If we're examining a situation that's really bad, right? Or what's not? It's easier to list what is not a problem
right.
than it is to list all the problems.
So, for example, I could look at you, Bill, and say, Bill, what are you not wearing? And you would have coats on and jackets on. You're wearing everything in your closet.
Yeah. Right. Oh, okay. Very good. All right, Winnie. I'll take that.
Okay.
Now, since you're so good at that, Winnie, what's the scoop on spin? We see one way to spin this is to talk about how few ingredients your product contains. Spin! I want our listeners to know exactly what that means.
Okay, well, listeners, we're on line 15. And remember, we're hearing from researchers and people who are selling these food products. And we've talked before about how marketing is about getting people or consumers to think a certain way. So we find this researcher, Tom, saying one way to spin this is to talk about how few ingredients your product contains. Or one way to kind of change this message so people will think about it is that they want people to think, oh, well, if there's less things in your food, then it must be better for you. So spin, you can say, I'm going to spin this so you can think about this in another way.
Spin is a certain way of presenting things,
yes,
right? And what I'm thinking of is like in politics, particularly the White House in the United States, certain politicians, they have their spin doctors, and these are their professional spokespeople whose job is to present information in a particular way that highlights in a positive way the message that maybe the president is giving, or maybe a CEO at a large company has spin doctors. These are the professional speakers. Their job is to take a negative and turn it into a positive. So, and you'll see this a lot. There's a lot of spin out there in the media.
Right. For example, you know, if government's embarking on environmental policy and it's going to cost a lot of jobs, they could spin it by saying, yes, this will cost a lot of jobs, but this will also create a lot of new jobs as well. So that's
right.
One way you can spin something.
Right. Or, for instance, healthcare is one issue they're dealing with in the United States now. A lot of people don't like it, but a lot of spin doctors are trying to sell the positives on this. Yes, but it's going to be good because of this thing and that thing, right? So then you got to be a professional spin person to sell the idea.
So it usually does have a negative connotation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like it's not all truthful.
Right.
So, all right. Let's move on to the next paragraph. Companies are offering what, Stephen?
Well, according to a trends guru named Lynn Dornblaser, companies that offer products with the fewest number of ingredients compared to their competitors stand to win big this year. Now, that word guru means an expert. It's a term for an expert or a mentor, and you could replace that with that word.
Okay. All right. So she's saying that less information, these companies stand to win big, which means they're probably going to sell a lot of their products, a lot more products than their competitors do, simply by keeping the labels easier to read and have less ingredients on their labels. Consumers these days, what do they want, Winnie?
Well, they not only want to know what's in whatever they eat, but they want to know also what is not included. So in other words, they want to know, ooh, what bad stuff am I not eating because I'm choosing this product?
Okay.
Or why am I so much more healthier for choosing this product?
All right. What about you? Now, if you go shop for a product, do you ever look at ingredients?
Sometimes I do.
What do you look for?
Well, when I was trying to be more fit a long time ago, I used to look at the calorie count and how much sugar is maybe in a certain drink or in a certain product.
All right. What about you, Stephen?
I used to look at nutrition labels quite thoroughly and, you know, I would stay away from things with a lot of sugar or high fructose, you know, corn syrup.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, just smart shopping that way.
Okay. Well, now that I've gotten older, I have to look at labels and I have to eliminate many, many things. And, you know, at my age, it's gotten to the point now where I can eat celery and that's about it. So, and a head of lettuce. That's about the only thing I'm allowed to eat now. No, actually, what I do is when I do look for a couple key things. One is fat grams.
Mm-hmm.
I look for total fat grams, and also I look for saturated fats, and these are also called trans fats. And I also look for calories, but I also look for then cholesterol levels. These are actually huge numbers in most processed foods. If you ever go to and like in a convenience store, pick up the labels, you'll be shocked at how much fat and trans fats are in these foods, which are terrible for you. So I advise our listeners, make sure you check the ingredient labels for this kind of stuff. So it's really shocking how much fat is in a lot of this food. Now, in a nation bedeviled by food scares and mounting worries about the healthiness. And I got to stop right there. What's this, in a nation bedeviled, Stephen?
Ooh, in a nation bedeviled by food scares.
Mm-hmm.
When we use the word bedevil, we mean, you know, something that is, you know, confusing, annoying, causing a lot of problems or difficulties for you. So if a nation was bedeviled by food scares, it means recently the nation has gone through a bunch of problems, annoying, persistent problems, where either food sanitation has not been good, or that there's just been ingredients in foods that has that, you know, are deemed dangerous
right.
to us.
Right. Okay. They've made people sick. That's what the problem is. A lot of people have gotten sick because of ingredients that are in food they don't know about. And if, for instance, we did an article on gluten back in November of last year of how people are affected by the ingredient gluten, which is added kind of unknowingly to products. A lot of people don't even know it's there. But anyways, mounting the worries about the healthiness of a plethora of things.
It can also be said plethora, plethora, plethora. Those are both acceptable. And that simply means a large amount of something or a large variety where there are many different kinds. And so in this case, they're saying, well, there's a plethora of different ingredients that are in these foods that are making everyone so worried.
Okay. And we are talking about processed foods. And we have mentioned that, Stephen, but why don't you give the definition for processed foods?
Right. Earlier, we were talking about additives. Mm-hmm. Processed foods are anything that has been treated with, you know, with chemicals, either, you know, to preserve it or to give it extra taste or extra color.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the products you see these days on shelves, Bill, you know, are processed goods, especially the ones that we see in convenience stores, ones that could last
right.
a while.
Yeah, and that's the stuff where you read the label, you can't even understand half the words. Right?
A classic example might be hot dogs.
Right.
Hot dogs completely processed and all kinds of mysterious things in it. But I still eat it. But yeah, maybe I shouldn't.
It's okay.
Once in a while.
Yeah.
Once in a while. Guilty pleasure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And in fact, as we finish that reading, we mentioned some of them there. No artificial food colorings, no chemical additives such as MSG, monosodium glutamate, and no chemical preservatives such as BHA. They're in our specialized terms box there. Butylated hydroxyanisole. So these things are added to foods to keep flavors. For instance, MSG is added at a lot of buffets to keep the food fresh for hours and hours. And this actually will cause people to have stomach pains.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are sensitive to that stuff, you might want to ask the owner if they use MSG. Let's get into our last reading for today.
Simple sells. The new marketing code word being used to boast about fewer ingredients, simple. From 2005 to 2008, there's been a 64.7% increase in new products using the words simple or simply in the product or brand name, reports Data Monitor. The food business has always been ingenious at turning any criticism into a new way to sell food to us, says Michael Pollan, author of In Defense of Food, an Eater's Manifesto. The book popularized the notion of buying only foods with five or fewer ingredients. As soon as you stress fewer ingredients, you're implying that the food is healthy.
Simple sales. That's what we're talking about, simplicity for sale. And we talk about the new marketing buzzword or the code word being used to boast about fewer ingredients. Simple, right, Stephen?
Absolutely. We see here that just in the last, you know, 4 years, from 2005 to 2008, there's been a record 64.7% increase alone in just the number of products using the word simple or simply.
Well, I'll tell you what, I majored in marketing and I did a lot of marketing and advertising studies, and it is just amazing the thought process and research that goes into picking the words that are on boxes. And people will agonize for weeks and do studies, massive studies, to determine what three words will go on a box. So, because it will be the difference whether people buy stuff. So,
well, it seems like now they're all going for this one word, simple.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of free, right? Now, in terms of recently, in recent years, fat-free or maybe low-fat or carb-free or protein or, you know, different things that were free of something, right? And because they appeal to people on these extreme diets, right? People didn't want any carbs or they didn't want any fat, so, or sugar-free. So not free in price, but missing that ingredient. So the food business has always been what, Stephen?
Well, the food business has always been very skillful or very clever. Here they use the word ingenious, which means that, at turning any criticism into a new way to sell food to us. And this is a quote from Michael Pollan, a very popular author in the U.S. who wrote a book, In Defense of Food.
Okay. Turning any criticism into a new way to sell food to us. That, again, that goes back to spin, what we talked about. It's putting an old spin on something. And what about this book, Winnie?
Well, this book popularized the notion of buying only foods with five or fewer ingredients. And he says, as soon as you stress fewer ingredients, you're implying that the food is healthy. So it almost seems like it doesn't matter what those five ingredients are. As long as it's less and it's less than five, people will want it.
What do you think?
I don't know. To be honest, I get attracted to packages that look nice and clean and simple. I admit that, but I don't know if I would automatically buy it. I would have to do a little more research, or maybe I would wait for my friends to tell me if it was good or not. So it does attract me, but I don't know if I would automatically just go for it.
I am attracted to things that are simple, and so I think Poland is right. But as Winnie raises a good point, and you really have to look at what those ingredients are, even as few as five as they may be. I think that's something that we'll look into in more detail tomorrow.
Good point. We're going to keep it simple. Don't miss tomorrow, listeners. We'll see you then. Bye.
Bye.